What is happening? Welcome to the Buzz Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 30th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Oh boy, Roki Sasaki is the lead today for the SP Roundup. Roki Sasaki, and this is what he did, all right? He threw four seamers at 96, not like 98, and he had the splitter that had a sub-30% strike rate. So what was the result? 1.2 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and just 2 strikeouts for Sasaki. Very disappointing, especially for people who got him in drafts, where they kind of thought they were going to get like a stud for the entire season. And here's the problem with Sasaki. He doesn't have a bridge pitch. He tries to throw the slider. It's not very good. It's very mediocre. Lots of waste pitches with it. And you think about every other Japanese pitcher that came over with a splitter and a four-seamer. You have those bridge pitches. You have Tanaka with his slider. You even have Kenta Maeda with his slider as well, with like the split change in the fastball. You have Yu Darvish with 20 million pitches, but you have Kodai Senga with the cutter. Daisuke with a lot of pitches as well. You have Yamamoto on the same team with his curveball and even an added cutter. And the thing with Sasaki is that the four-seamer itself doesn't get whiffs. It is not well located. It doesn't have a lot of verts. It doesn't have the best angle. It's really just this 7 feet of extension. But the thing is, it's 96 and 7 feet of extension. What Sasaki should be doing is trying to go upstairs with it and then try to throw a cutter or a maybe a hard slider, a power slider underneath it. He doesn't look like a guy who's good with spin, unfortunately. Which means that maybe a sinker at 94 or something along those lines, just to get a different look inside the zone and take advantage again of that extension to get separation. But there needs to be something. And when you have a situation when it's a splitter, you're not going to rely on that for strikes. And this was again, 27% strike rate. So you're going to have four walks. You know, the four seamer is going to be everything. Guys are going to go up there sitting on it. And then you're forced to throw this good, this four seamer in the zone. It's terrifying. So it's a big issue. I'm not saying that Sasaki's going to have it the entire time, but for right now, yeah, you're going to see these games, especially when the splitter can't be that destroyer of worlds pitch. All right, looking at other guys from yesterday's games, we had Jose Soriano really come through as my streaming pick of the day and PL Bot's streaming pick of the day. If you don't know, with PL Pro, you get daily and weekly projections among everything else that we do here. Of course, like an ad-free website, access to our Discord. You get as well my next day streamers, actually 2 days in ahead as well, and many other things. All these live apps that I reference and stuff. You get a ton with PL Pro. It's the best way to support us. Go to pitchers.com/premium. Jose Soriano, 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks in just 73 pitches, but it was against the White Sox. And all he did was the same stuff he did last year. Lots of strikes with the sinker and the curveball. It's kind of weird that he's down and away with the sinker as opposed to inside with it. But it's all fine, and I think you're going to keep going with Soriano. He gets the Guardians next. It shouldn't be as good. Just keep that in mind. Looking at Randy Vasquez, he got the gold star, which I give to the least expected pitcher to have a good start who had a good start, right? Congratulations, Randy Vasquez. And it was against Atlanta, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. When you have the same amount of whiffs as you do walks, you know that Koufax was helping you out. That is our reference for when Babbitt was in your favor. Thank Koufax for that. Randy Vasquez is not a guy you want to go for. It's just not the thing. There's nothing in there that really gets me excited. Lots of pitches here. He had 5 with at least 10 thrown, and it's just not really it. Spencer Schwellenbach on the other side, Mr. Crescendo, had a very interesting start because he killed it. 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. But the pitch that had the most whiffs, when you think about all of his 6 pitches, the four-seamer, the splitter, the slider, the curve, the cutter, you know, the sinker is the one that had the most whiffs at 5 over 13. And this actually wasn't a good game of sliders and curves. He didn't really have a good command of that. He actually didn't really have a good command of his four-seamer either. And the cutter was just kind of over the plate. And it worked out still because he has all these offerings. He has over 7 feet of extension. He throws hard. They all have movement. Like, he's so good. And command is actually generally one of the better things about him. So that's why he had such a good start despite not being at his peak. I really like Spencer Schwellenbach. Oh gosh, he's going to be like top 10 by the end of the year, isn't he? Jonathan Cannon had a good game against the Angels, but it was because it was against the Angels, guys. All right, he's not the guy that you want to really lean in on. Here, 5 innings, 0 runs, this isn't it. Antonio Sensatello, 4 innings of 0 runs and 9 hits and 2 walks. You got to be joking. A near 3 whip and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? Unreal. That is the life of Sensatella, really. It's just nuts. Shota Imanaga, There's a reason why he spelled I'm an AGA. He certainly acted like one here. I'm not ready to give it to him because, as I do, I generally wait a moment for a lot of these guys before actually giving them that that title. But he's at 92, not at 90, with 18 to 19 inches of vert, not 16 to 17, which is great. And yes, you still see that sub 10% swing strike rate overall on the four-seamer, which is kind of funny, but it's a lot of splitters to right-handers and a lot of sweepers to left, and they're both very effective, and everything is cool there with Shota Imanaga. You have Zach Littell against the Rockies. It's Rocky Road, and, well, he did well. You have six innings, one in run, four hits, zero walks, and seven Ks for Zach Littell. This is not a thing that you should lean into. He went dancing with the disco to right-handed batters. That is throwing a lot of sliders over the plate for strikes. And I got to say, against lefties, he did a good job of not putting anything in the middle. Splitters were down, sliders were up. But yeah, this is not something that is going to stick around. Again, this is Rocky Road. The Rockies are not a very good offense. And he took advantage of it. Spencer Arrighetti had an interesting one. It's good to see that extension still there over 7 feet, etc. If you haven't figured it out, I love 7 feet extension guys that give him opportunity to really get tunneling over the plate with strikes. You can have more effective strikes over the plate if you have good extension. Arrighetti has that. It's at 94. But he didn't really have a lot of whiffs on the slider and the sweeper and the curve. They were not very consistent for him. It was really just, here's the four-seamer, here's the cutter. The Mets didn't burn him for it. So six innings, one run, one hit, two walks, five Ks. Arrighetti had been scaring me a bit in spring with lower velocity. He met last year's in this one. So that's good. The overall chaos of the command, not, but great to see a good outing. And hopefully he gets those breakers in check moving forward. Eric Fede looked like a Toby, honestly, against the Twins. The Twins are not looking like a good offense. And he really goes two pitch against left-handers, cutters, and change. And then three pitch with sinker, cutter, sweeper against righties. So no four-seamers. Eric Fede without four-seamers is a good thing. We like this. So that's nice. Six innings, one run, two hits, zero walks, two Ks. Don't expect too much from Eric Fede, but that's cool. You have Osvaldo Beto against the Mariners in Seattle. So, well, you know, you got to win, right? Five innings, one run, three hits, four walks, four Ks. That's Beto. He's going to have walks a lot. There are going to be some games that the four-seamer and the sinker are actually above 60% strikes. Not the case here. He barely touched the sinker. It was like 54% strikes in the sinker. But it's a really good slider. And in Seattle, the T, it's going to be effective. Okay. I don't really want to lean into Beto into 12-teamers. 15, I can see it. But it's going to be volatile. Joe Ryan against the Cardinals went five innings, one run, five hits, zero walks, and five strikeouts. Seven whiffs and 32% CSW. What's interesting is that he was 92.8, which is not 94 that we saw last year, but at least it's not like the 91 we saw in spring. I imagine he's still kind of ramping up a little bit. But the splitter and the sinker were really bad. I mean, they just were not there to support Joe Ryan. The sweeper was only there five times, despite seeing a good number of right-handers. This was just the four-seamer just cooking against a good matchup. So hopefully he gets a little bit better from the skill set. But yeah, the bad matchup, you took advantage. Things are cool. Fuente Biazo is not someone you should care about. And that's all I'm going to say there. As he pitched for the Marlins against the Pirates, Tyler Mahle against the Red Sox, 1.2 innings of one earned run. But two hits and four walks and three Ks. He needed 61 pitches. Oh my gosh, for five outs. At least the four-seamer was at 93. And we've seen in the past that he was at 91, 92. 93 is good. It's not 93.5 to 94 that we've seen. Maybe even 94.5. And it's peak. But at least he's at 93. Okay. And the strike rate was at 54%. It wasn't like the worst command I've seen. It was just not control. And that is the four-seamer is missing a little too far up or a little too far out against right-handers. You know those times you watch guys and they walk batters, but it's every fastball is competitive. It's just out of the zone they're taking them. That was kind of what it was with Mahle. Now, the slider and splitter were not helping. They were just not. So there you go. That's why you see this. But I could very much see him just having one of those weird days, and it could be better. And now Mahle gets the raise. So if you held on to this and you're in a deeper league, don't necessarily cut Mahle just yet. I think that could be a very good start against the Rays. Maybe he's just a random streamer in a 12-teamer. That's fine. Bailey Falter against the Marlins. Six innings of 200 runs, seven hits, zero walks, and four Ks. And here's the thing. He likes pitching in Florida. Just trade him to the Rays already. I'm just joking. He has a lot of extension, doesn't have a changeup. That's always the problem. I don't really want to go for this moving forward. Nick Lodola did something very interesting. And I'm going to tell you about this, of course, with every other starter from yesterday's games after this break. Nick Lodolo went 2 earned runs over 6 innings with 5 hits, 0 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? What I've talked about with Lodolo is that I really want him to be able to dominate right-handers with changeups. And that's the thing. He did that. He actually threw a ton of changeups because he threw faced a lot more right-handers than left-handers. But Lodolo threw a ton more changeups than curveballs. And while he only got 1 whiff of it on it, he got a ton of outs on it. So much weak contact on that pitch. And that's cool. If Lodolo can nail that changeup consistently, throw sinkers and four-seamers among it and be fine with it, then yeah, that's a good foundation. And then you have the curveball when you face more lefties. And hopefully then the curveball can get better and be more of a reliable thing for punch-outs against right-handers. I think this was a case of batters not really expecting that changeup. And of course, against the Giants. But I like this. And I hope that Lodolo actually, you know, figures this out and says, cool, I've got this new weapon, this changeup, and really utilizes it well. Look, Lodolo hasn't been healthy for a while. And for him to have no walks and just 5 hits in 6 innings is pretty dang cool. Even though it's 1 strikeout, I'm liking it. We have Griffin Canning against the Astros. 5.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Dancing on the disco, 54% sliders in this. And he threw mostly against right-handers, which is interesting. Righty on righty. And so he just went with the slider. The changeup didn't get much usage. He threw a couple against lefties, a couple against righties. And the four-seamer was pretty much like on the back burner, like 25% usage or so, which is what you want to see. He had some cutters, like 2 cutters and 2 sinkers, whatever. Griffin Canning is at his best when he's throwing a lot of sliders and a lot of changeups and not many fastballs and just not making too many mistakes. That was this, which was only 5.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks against the Astros. Just keep that in mind. Like, the ceiling isn't really worth jumping for with Canning. Jake Irvin, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. Not really a productive start outside of the 2 earned runs, but it is against the Phillies. And what he did do is he threw a ton of changeups. Last year, the overall usage was about 4%. This game was about 25%, even 35% usage against lefties. So Jake Irvin's leaning into this changeup. I don't know if it's a very good one, but at least it's something else. And when he was cooking last year, it was when the curveball was really dominating. And yeah, it had 77% strikes, but it really wasn't overwhelming with whiffs. And only 1 out of 21 whiffs on the changeup here with the 71% strike rate. I think he was able to finagle his way through this game because of that changeup being more of a surprise with them. And I think it's an added element for Irvin that gives me a more hope that there could be something positive in a good run for Jake Irvin like he had last year around this time. It was kind of cool to see that. It was really only the curveball last time, but maybe now the changeup can help with that 7 feet of extension, by the way. He's a 7 feet boy, which is cool. Jesus Luzardo is certainly not. He's like a 5.2 extension guy. So he's so reliant on velocity and movement as much as possible. And he had a golden goal. That is, he had the most whiffs at 18 and the best CSW percentage with 40%. This was against the Nationals, got the win that we were hoping him to get. You drafted Luzardo because, like, look, I like the first matchup you get, and we'll kind of take it from there to see how we're doing. It's 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 11 Ks. And now he has a new sweeper. He has a sweeper for lefties and then a gyro slider for righties, and he earned 12 whiffs combined on those two. The changeup is featured 24% of the time to right-handers, which I like. I want him to utilize that a lot. Thing is, he's going to be a hipster, headache-inducing pitcher, stifling the entire roster. Jesus Luzardo is the kind of guy that will have this amazing game, 11 strikeouts and 2 walks in 5 innings, and it's awesome. And then the next one will be like, oh, it's 6 earned runs. Like, he will make mistakes, and they will get clobbered. And the Dodgers are next, so be careful. You don't have to start Luzardo for that. I'm happy you got this good one, but you don't have to do that, guys. Gavin Williams was saying in the spring to my co-host on the Corner podcast, my weekly one, Eric Samulski. Gavin Williams talked to Eric Samulski in Cleveland and said, I'm saving my cutter for the regular season. So we're like, oh, okay. You're only throwing this slider at like 87 in spring. So, all right, cool. We'll see that cutter. Didn't show up. Mm-mm. He threw in 289 mile per hour sliders, but they were sliders. Yeah, I'm annoyed. Because it was 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks for Gavin Williams. And the slider was terrible. The 4-seamer had actually under 7 feet of extension when he's supposed to be a 7-plus feet guy. But he was 97-98. He was only 4 for 46 whiffs, which is just essentially 10% just underneath that. Ugh. And the slider, we had 5 for 11 strikes. The curveball actually had a 61% strike rate. Very rare for it. I'm like, hey, buddy, I wanted to really been like so loud that I love Gavin Williams, but I can't because you are not throwing this cutter. You are showing weird things on your four-seamer. Come on, man. You're like so close to being unreal. All right. You still keep going with Gavin Williams, hoping things change. Justin Verlander went into Cincinnati, 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, 10 whiffs, 31% CSW. Honestly, you should be really happy with this. He is a Tobey, in my view, and yeah, you got what you asked for. Don't ask for a 25% K rate like he did here, a strikeout inning, right? But he has 94-mile-per-hour velocity, which is what it was last year. He even has harder curves and sliders by about 1.5 ticks. Now, there's less drop on that curve and slightly less movement on that slider. But 2 out of 10 whiffs is a 20% swing strike rate on the slider. Obviously, small sample. It's funny. Yeah. But maybe at 88 instead of like 86 and change, that slider can be more devastating this year. I hope it can. That would be cool because Justin Verlander should be fine in a 12-teamer, like a 3.8 ERA and a 120 whip. Like as a streamer, sure, 12-teamer, he's good. He's going to get some wins. Things are cool. Max Fried. Did Max Fried think so just having a bad start because it's his first start of the year? This is just what he does. And don't worry about this. Carlos Carrasco came in relief, though, for actually a significant amount, which means that the Yankees are likely going to go Carlos Rodon and Max Fried in a four-man rotation the first turn and then go 1-2-3 with Rodon, Max Fried, and Carrasco. Or they can go 1-2-3 with Stroman and then 4 as Carrasco since they had a day off on Friday and a day off coming up on Monday. So keep that in mind. You'll see Fried as if this is a four-man rotation for the week ahead, which is nice. But yeah, he'll be fine. Don't worry. Max Scherzer was pulled because of his thumb injury that we were worried about, which actually is a silver lining because we don't like the schedule for Scherzer in the first month. So if he comes back, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, and then no one picks him up because he's going to be limited, and then all of a sudden he has good matchups in May, oh man, we can actually get Max Scherzer value now. This is kind of cool. So I hope he heals quickly. I hope he's good when he comes back. Brandon Pfaadt against the Cubs. 6 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. That's a poor quality start, right? Exactly 6 innings and exactly 300 runs. But I'll take that all day from Pfaadt. And what's kind of interesting is that he's throwing more curveballs, 20% usage, at a harder 83 to 84 mile per hour velocity to left-handers. That's the biggest problem with him. And he went 3/9 whiffs against them. That could be a thing here. It's 20% usage against lefties, I should say. I hope that sticks. That would actually make me encouraged about Pfaadt. Because, yeah, he has a sweeper that works well against right-handers. A four-seamer and sinker, they match up well. But, yeah, it's just about that problem with lefties. So, hopefully, that's it. Bryce Miller did an interesting thing, too. 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. But he didn't throw the four-seamer most. Just 23%. And he threw sinkers 41% of the time against right-handers. What? He threw also a ton of curveballs, 19 of them. And against lefties, it was 36% usage. And there were 6 out of 19 whiffs. Look, maybe Bryce Miller has found a good feel for the curve. I will say it was a little inconsistent location on that curve, just to be fair. Not like one of those like lining the bottom of the zone like a neckbeard. But all I got to say to Bryce is, look, you just got to throw more four-seamers and sinkers. Like, four-seamers should be the thing, and all of a sudden, surprise, is a sinker. Not the other way around against right-handers. Very weird. And if that curveball is the answer for a secondary pitch against left-handers, I'm all for that. That's great. So hopefully that's the case. We did see the curveball show up before for Bryce Miller last year and then disappear. So we'll see what happens. But don't be so discouraged by this home start from Bryce Miller. I think he's just kind of figuring things out, and it'll be okay. Seth Lugo was Seth Lugo, except that, he nibbled too much with cutters and four-seamers. They didn't get enough strikes. And that's it. Like, he went 5 innings, 300 runs, 7 base runners, 4 Ks. Like, whatever, he's fine. Reese Olson got the Dodgers, so it didn't go well. Like, don't really worry about this. 95-mile-per-hour velocity still there. Dean Kramer against the Jays. Yeah, he threw a harder curveball at 10 for 11 strikes. That's cool, but he left some pitches hanging up. He actually pitched better than the 5 earned runs and 5 hits will tell you. Over 5.1 innings, but 2 walks, 6 Ks. There are times that Dean Kramer is going to pitch really well. And honestly, 37% CSW. Play the matchups with Dean Kramer. I'd say he's a better 12-teamer play for those ceiling moments. Well, he's too detrimental for those bad games in 12 teamers. Nestor Cortez got destroyed by the Yankees, like absolutely obliterated. You know about this. He was down 1.5 ticks on the fastball. I think Cortez should be better, obviously. And like, don't overlook him. Like, just see how the next start goes and take it from there. All right. Just don't do this in the short term, but be ready to jump in. And then the last one is Walker Buehler. 4.1 innings, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. What I liked about Walker Buehler entering this year is that we'd know early if we want to hold on to Walker Buehler or not. We'd get a good look at him, see where he's at, see if this has been fixed, see if he's good, and I don't want him. So we can move on. This is the perfect example of like you drop Buehler for like, Fitz and Meyer are going today, but you can go with Bubic, you can go with Casey Mize. You can go with Chris Paddock. You can just keep it moving along. If Job is still out there, you drop him for Job, right? Like, do not hold on to Walker Buehler just because you drafted him. He was the perfect guy to assess early and then change if it's bad. But yeah, he's bad. Velocity's down 2 ticks. He did not know where anything was going. It was just not good. The only good thing was a sweeper down away to right-handers, but then again, he threw a really bad one and got hit hard. So, I mean, like, yeah. Yeah, listen to Eno, guys. He was saying that on my podcast with him, The Craft, that I do every week. Eno Saris was saying that Walker Buehler's stuff was one of the lowest of the spring. So fine. All right. We don't want to go for Walker Buehler, guys. All right. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. I'll be back tomorrow, of course. Until then, my name is Nick Pollock, and may your bat be low and your strikeouts high.